This is the Blackwatch Report, the ultimate Path to Pro podcast, covering news around the scene, breaking down key matches, and interviewing your favorite players, coaches, and personalities from contenders and Open Division. Now, here are your hosts, Thorn Rain and Kyle Wynn.
And welcome back for another episode of the Blackwatch Report. I am your host, Thorn Rain, and with me as always, my co-host, Mr. Kyle Wynn. How are you doing tonight, Kyle?
Pretty good. Hoping I don't turn full robot mode here, but we will see.
I see you intently watching those stats to make sure that you don't completely tank out. But we are on episode 48. We are two away from the big 50. We are just a couple days past our one-year anniversary. Yes, we're a year old now. Happy birthday, Blackwatch Report. Our official release date for the first episode was 1/30/2018, so that was just 6 days ago. So yeah, we've been doing this for a year, Kyle. Can
you believe it? We only missed 2 weeks, and those were me moving and Christmas, so...
Yeah.
Like, I feel good about being, like, the most consistent Tier 2 podcast that exists, to my knowledge.
I listen to a lot of podcasts, and I'm pretty sure we're the most consistent as far as for tier two goes.
So fight us. Yeah. Fight us, other podcasts.
Come Step at us, up. Bro. Let's do this. But as always, we kind of start off with what we've done this last week. Kyle, why don't you start us off? How's your week been?
All right. It's been filled with one thing and one thing only. Apex MFing Legends. Oh my god. That game is my new life.
It is so good.
Oh my god. I got another win today. I got a win last night. I played against Shroud. I played against some Fortnite streamers. It was a fun game, man. It's like Overwatch meets Battle Royales, and it's team play, but it's also individual, and it's just like, it's nice in having three people because you can always find just enough people to play.
And it's free.
I've got like, it's free, and they have like a great system for monetization as well.
What word was that?
I'm speaking like Mirage in the game does, where he does the same thing. But yes, they have sick loot boxes and skins and stuff. It's no pay to win stuff. Everyone's kind of on a, you can get like two extra people if you pay money, but you can just unlock them regularly if you play the game enough.
Yeah, through so the, like it's
so sick.
It's cool. They took the monetization of Fortnite, which I do believe is like one of the game's strongest points.
Yeah.
And then they took the loot boxes and leveling from Overwatch, and then the class characters from Overwatch, and crammed it into one battle royale.
And made it really good too. Like it's the one, my favorite thing is that they have just done so many good things. Like the voice lines are super informative, so it'll tell you like, hey, we're close to the circle, far away from the circle. It's like Overwatch's in terms of like how informative the voice acting is. Yep. It's just, it's so good about that. And the pinging system is great for playing with new people. Like, I got a win with playing with two randoms, and because we could communicate well, it's just like such a smooth system.
Yeah, they made it to where you can actually communicate reliable information without saying a single word or typing any. It's amazing. By far one of the best games I've played in a long time. As you can probably tell, that's pretty much been my because as soon as it released, that's what I started playing, and cannot wait to play some more because it's.
Yep.
But other than that, I think that's going to take us down into our Twitch follows. We got one new follow, Shuni. Still no iTunes reviews, so we really could use those iTunes reviews. They do help boost the visibility of us. So let's get down into the news. As always, our news is brought to you by our Patreon over at patreon.com/blackwatchreport. This week's Patreon is none other than Thugly. So thank you very much, Thugly, and take us away, Kyle.
So starting off, we have, I know I've seen some screenshots on Twitter and Reddit of some people talking about the Winston's Lab Fantasy League. Well, anyone who listens to High Noon podcast will tell you that highnoon.gg, it's not like an official affiliation, but the the guy behind it, Soul Drink, is very involved with Deathblow and getting the best system that they can. We just did a draft last night, and it was super duper fun. Very well done. You can live draft. You don't have to do your preference lists and stuff like that. It's a nice, simple site. So there's a league up. They just posted a unlimited league, which means a number of people can join. It's not like a standard closed league where it's 10 max. So go on to the High Noon Podcast Discord and check out, I think it's in the announcement section, I believe.
Yep.
There's going to be an unlimited league. There's a couple of standard leagues that people have done, so you can find one as well, as they have a Pick'em League back up again, and they'll talk about prizes at some point soon.
Yes. The cool thing about highnoon.gg is they give you three different ways to play the game.
Yep.
Standard, regular old fantasy, unlimited, which is kind of like a DraftKings where you'll pick literally the best nine players that you can pick. Cram them onto a team, seven players, cram them onto a team and go, and then change it weekly. And then there's the pick'ems where you just say, hey, this team will beat this team. So if you're looking for fantasy, they have everything covered. I keep bugging them about giving us pick'ems for contenders NA, because that would be super dope. And
that would be cool.
I would definitely run prize giveaway pick'ems for Blackwatch Report 100%. But let's get into this next bit of news here. We've got...
Yes. Oh, that's you. No, sorry. Go ahead.
We got the NA trials officially have started. They're being casted by ELO Hell from Jane's camp over there. But that's not the biggest news. I mean, that's huge news considering this is the first time Trials has been casted in A. They're doing it on the official contender stream. And it's getting like between 6 and 8K viewers at peaks. There was
a lot.
Which is massive for Trials because we usually only get slightly higher than that for some of the contenders matches. So, super cool to be able to watch Trials. This is usually that downtime where we like speculate about Trials teams and the way that their rosters look. No, we finally get to watch Trials teams coming up open to view. And it's freaking sweet.
Remember 2 seasons ago or last season we had to watch from like Gator's stream or from Kalusha's stream, and you had to happen in the background and
decipher what's going on while you listen to the comms. Now, comms were funny,
yeah,
but not very informative.
They were funny until Goats was losing, and then it got not
real,
fun.
Real angry.
It got real tilty. Yeah. The other thing I wanted to kind of tack on the end of that is something that Jane has been doing as well. I think it was on ELO Hell. Pro scouting pugs. So we saw some cool plays from, I think there was some Boston Academy as well as I think some Envious players kind of doing this just kind of open mic pugs kind of thing, which is super interesting to see. So you got to see some looks at the comms. So if you're looking for like if you're really just hoping for the 14th to come around here, you don't think it could come any sooner, check out those. You can kind of get an idea of some behind the scenes work for tier 2 stuff. I think that's the other reason that contenders trials are like taking off, because people are like, I need to watch Overwatch stuff and the league isn't for two more weeks. So we're close, but not close enough. And then lastly, for our scene / community news, is Mika Burton from NA Contenders Season 1 and 2, I think, or just 2 or something.
Just 2.
As well as Achilleos and Wolf from Contenders Korea have been added to the Overwatch League talent list. No reinforced still, unfortunately, but he said he'll be involved in some sort of way. But we also have a couple other people involved that have been added, but those didn't really fall under our umbrella, so we'll let HNP take the rest of that, I guess.
So that'll move us down into the rosters here. So Kyle, you got our first roster up.
So I do. I get Meta Athena to talk about their new Trials roster. I didn't unfortunately say who was added and who was not, but the roster is as follows. Innovation, Recry, and Who Are You on DPS. Who Are You is still on loan to Meta Athena from Fusion University, so they still own his contract, I believe. On tanks, you've got Enocas and Modern. On off tank, you've got Hoon, and then you've got Named and Apache on support.
And then our next one here is Hardest. Is going to be reuniting with Leaf and Tipu over on Samsung Morningstar. They signed him to join the team. So congratulations, and it should be pretty interesting to see those two playing back together.
Yeah, I've heard that they were a pretty big team last season. I'm hoping to catch a couple of games with the big teams this next season of Contenders. I'm hoping to not be as NA-centric and maybe not focus on like the trash tier games that we get in NA. Maybe just kind of focus on the top three of each region every time or something along those lines. We'll see how that goes. But I think that Morningstars are a much improving team as of recently.
Yep.
Speaking of improvements, no longer on whatever team he was on previously.
Team that not be named.
Well, no. I mean, but like after that, he was on a team for trials for like a game or for Open Division playoffs.
A team that no longer exists that we'll talk about here shortly.
Okay, yeah, because everyone, yeah. Megachu, our favorite Torb main and Symmetra main, and really just memer. He's like out of all of the memers in the world, he is elevated to the highest level of competitive play, or second highest at the moment. And he's on Mayhem Academy, so a lot of great talent on that roster, sure to underperform as per usual, so hoping they can break the trend this time.
I'm really hoping that he's able to land himself an academy, or I'm sorry, a two-way contract. Sure, he'd only be the second non-Korean playing for the team, but hey, there's at least one.
Apply's on a two-way as well.
Oh yeah, Apply is on a two-way.
I don't know.
That's right. So our next bit of news here is BM Hawks released their trial roster. So we've got Jindu on DPS alongside of Haven and Babel, Sanguk and Chunsam on tank and off tank respectively, and then we've got Espresso and Abel coming in on the supports. So best of luck to the BM Hawks over there in, I believe that is
Korea. Sounds like Korea. Yeah, sounds like Korea to me.
Yeah.
And then I love the spice. I love the spice you put into this next headline here. I'm going to read it verbatim here.
Had to do it.
XL2 have found some hometown heroes. Wait, never mind. Yaki and Kirby join as the first players signed after the Great Purge. So now it is three players in Yaki, Kirby, and Jur. I don't have very many details on either of these two players. Some people are pretty keen on them, but
they're Korean.
Yes, they are. Yes, exactly. They are Korean players, and it seems like maybe XL2 is no longer going to do the whole NA or New York players. They're like, you know what, let's just, like, who are we kidding? Let's just kind of scout some players we could add to NYXL eventually.
Let's just make our academy team into...
Yep.
Yeah, that's what
I think,
I'm gonna...
Like, honestly, though, if they go through with this, I think they're going to be good again. I don't think, like, if they went through with the actual hometown heroes thing, they're going to be absolutely terrible, but, like, both of these players seem like they're pretty good. Mm-hmm. Jura was fine. I think that they're now going to try to build a serious roster because the hometown heroes thing was maybe not very well thought out. Maybe that was like a management thing that the coaches are like, can we not please, really, yeah, please not do that?
The marketing department.
You got to involve your hometown crowd. Like, yeah, but we also want to win. We also want to not get relegated. We want to be able to help our actual Overwatch League team out. So.
The marketing department, who's never watched a game of Overwatch, was like, it'd be really cool if we did this.
Yeah, exactly.
No, we want to win.
Like, research shows that...
Yeah, research shows that you're a moron.
Yep.
But our next bid here, we got Christopher, formerly of Six Snakes, in the 2018 UK World Cup team, is going to be joining the Philadelphia Fusion as a new assistant coach. I know the HNP guys talked about this yesterday. So kind of cool to see, you know, another European coming over, moving up from, you know, kind of the Contenders and I don't even really know what you call World Cup anymore. It's not really tier two. It's not tier three. It's
It's tier two, 1.5, 1.75.
1.75, yeah. So congratulations to Christopher on getting, you know, that fat payday coming over and working with Philadelphia.
Yep. And then I guess now it's the time. Now becomes the NA unveiling of the 9,000 new brandings we've got. Well, actually, okay. Well, this first one, it's not new, but it's like the team that was previously something else is now phase two again after being phase two to start with. They went to Kangarna for a little bit, realized that Michael was not a person they wanted to associate themselves with, left that, and now they're back as phase two. And they've got Moopy, Pika, Duplicate, it's Onyx, King, Sumito, Faz, and Nishik? Nishik.
Yeah. Something along those lines.
And they're in trials. Contenders.
Super cool to see King back on a roster. An unfortunate where they're sitting at.
On Sky Foxes and got dropped, right?
Sky Foxes for a hot minute. He was on not Goats. Crap. He was in trials with Goats. I forget the other team that came up with Goats at that time. But our next bit here is the Underwater Squad, one of the only teams coming out of Open Division to not rebrand, have announced their Contenders Trials roster. And we've got Derek, Kevin, Bustio. We get to see Baboon, Icy, Reptile, Ikor, and Midnight is back on it. So it's kind of cool to see Midnight. We haven't seen Midnight in like a season and a half, I think. I think he left out middle of season two.
He was on, you know, obviously he was on XL2 and then he went Sky Foxes for a little bit. I don't think he played much on Sky Fox, if at all. But now we get into the very first rebranding. So hold on to your hats, get your notebooks out because there's a lot of changes that's going to be really hard weird. To keep track of. Alpha Gaming is the first team and they have become Paradigm. I don't know why they needed to change their name. Alpha Gaming wasn't like offensive or meme-y or whatever. So whatever, they're solid. Paradigm now. Yeah. And that is the roster of Mixo, Arc, Hope, Lisagu, or Lisugao, Chopped, and Daya. Not a whole lot of famous names there. I think Daya was kind of, some people are high on them. I don't know.
Yeah, this was a team of people that were literally coming up out of trials, so it's good to see them in trials. Not so much on their results so far. So our next bit of rebranding here, we're going to go from the lower side to the Open Division champion, Mirage Sport Electronic. I no longer get to say Electronic.
That was the team that what's his name was on.
Yes.
Wait. Oh no. Do you see the?
I do see it.
Was it, which one is right? I think this one maybe was wrong.
That one is wrong. Uh oh. God. I got it right here.
Panic!
I got it right here, ready to go. Okay. So. All right. Mirage Sport Electronic is no longer. All of the players and staff have parted ways to kind of do their own thing. And they have formed Bermuda.
Kind of a sick cool branding, to be fair. Kind like, of their cool logo brand. Is kind of sick.
The logo's cool. The name is kind of weird. Like, it, I don't know, just saying Bermuda, Team Bermuda, like, it's odd. But let's talk about this roster. All right, so since I have the correct roster now, we have Carter and Ultima Weapon coming in from, like...
Method from, like, 3 years ago, 2 years ago.
Played on Rocket Esports, played on 5 exclamation points, but spelled out. Yes, that is actually how you say that name, because I interviewed somebody off of that team. one of the greatest names in the original Open Division was that name. And then we have Shu, not Shu, but another shoe. There's a ton of them.
It's the crazy. Shoe is on the other foot.
Yeah, the shoe is on the other foot.
Ah! Okay, we're going here. Sorry. I'm just losing.
And then we've got Guru, and then Chronodota, and Hypnot. Chronodota is another one. He's been around. Same as Guru, Hypnot. And then closing out the supports, we have OG and Pizza Demon. This is a pretty stacked roster here.
Yeah.
As far as tier two goes. So, super cool to see them. They transitioned over to their own brand, and now they're just kind of working out for themselves. I got to give a special shout out to their manager, Rusto. This guy's been in the scene grinding since, like, the original Open Division. Created the Savages, and, like, super, super knowledgeable dude about putting together rock. Congratulations to him finally getting out of Open Division into Trials. With a team that looks like it's going to be pretty solid.
And then this next one is one that, okay, this one makes sense, right? So, like, obviously it makes sense that if this team makes it into contenders, Blizzard's like, hey, can you guys probably not have the name Path to Poverty? Because it's kind of like making fun of us, and that's probably not good for the whole overall branding and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
But now Square One, which is... all like, my god, these, I think these, like, whoever comes up, there's like one guy who comes with all the names for these teams, and he's very uncreative, because you've got like Square One, Phase One, Two, First Gen, like, yeah. Come on, man,
let's throw a number with a word and that's your right. New team,
First Iteration, Second Try, like, oh my god. Okay, anyways, but the roster, no longer Path to Poverty, now Square One, is Jolfi, Hot Date on tanks, Dove, Big All, and Shadows on DPS, Angelic, Ultraviolet, and Bird. I think Bird was on, god, I think he was on Dogman or something like that, and he was like really, really, really good there. So hopefully they do well. Oh, actually, I mean, they have been doing well here. So we'll talk about that a little bit more, but yeah. Yeah, he's a big name. I think that he's, out of all these players, got potential to move up to an academy team here pretty soon.
And then our next team coming in for NA Trials is Chicken Contendies. I love that name. It's
great name.
Awesome. Great, great chicken head logo also.
Oh, classic.
So on their DPS, we see Tanner, Harblue, and Buck. Our tanks for the Chicken Contendies is Chazzy and Salty, I'm sorry. And then their supports are Zoik, Suppose, and then HTP Herald. Never heard of HTP Herald. Have heard of Suppose. Guys are doing pretty solid over there in Trials.
Yeah, they're killing it. They're doing well. And now here's the weird one, Skyfoxes. So now they're down from 16,511. They're down to 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. So pretty good. You got Clone Man and Remix on the main tanks. You've got FaZe on the off tank. You've got Zoms back again, as well as Attitude. I think he's a Korean player coming in. You've got the return of Buds, no longer on whatever team he was on. Where was Buds? I don't remember.
Envy.
Was he dropped from Envy? Or just he doesn't do anything since then? I don't remember.
He went Envy to Skyfoxes with the 32,752,000 players, and now he's down to the final roster.
Right. Okay. Yeah. It's the gauntlet. He made it. Yeah. And then on supports, you've got Lastro, who I think is also a Korean player, and Mackie, who I know nothing about. So there's quite a lot of new names here, as well as some old names. So,
and a super, super cool tank. Digging the tank.
Oh, yeah.
So our next one here is a little bit of contenders news. Rob Dabb, he has left First Gen. Now, it's pretty much assumed that most of First Gen is gone. And they did a big recruiting thing. They put out an application and we're doing trials and everything. So it's assumed that most of the team has been picked up by an yet-to-be-announced academy team. We'll have to wait and see. And Rob Dabb leaving kind of tells me that maybe he didn't get picked up. He is LFT.
I think that's what it is, yeah.
He is LFT, so he'll probably go out there and, you know, either start up another roster or, you know, find one to squeeze into. Maybe Sky Foxes will pick him up and try that whole 10 billion player thing.
Yep. And then we have some news about We Have Org. They are going to be taken over by Out of My Game, which is, I guess, another org. So it's not like an org, but they have an org, and they have a roster of Wayfast, Olu, Twolls, Proggy, Chalky Milk, and Cass's Bass. That's just six, so they only have six at the moment. We'll see how that goes.
And then a little more on the EU side, we got Shoes Money Crew EU announcing their roster for Trials, adding in two new players here. So we're going to see the return of Moz, Deal, Barbecue, and Trispear. And then the two new players are JKLOL21. And then FD God. JKLOL. Is a new tank player, and then FD God is coming in on the support role to finish out that roster.
Cool, cool. And then our last big kind of news here is, we have low-key tryhards, or base tryhards, excuse me, and LFT OWL form a SA Contenders Super Team under Loki Esports. So you've got Miraz, Liko, Honorado coming in from Base Tryhards, formerly Brazil Gaming House. And you've got Fasty, Olay, and Pizza Lover coming in from LFT OWL, I believe. So they have their full roster. They should be pretty good.
Yeah, looking forward to being able to check them out. Hopefully we continue to get some solid SA or South American coverage through cast.gg. But that is going to wrap up the news, and we have a word from our sponsor.
Break away from your normal energy and go rogue. Head over to therogueenergy.com and use promo code BlackWatchReport at checkout for 10% off of your purchase.
And then that takes us into this week in Overwatch, and there's not much going on. We're stopping with the birthdays, so there was no new maps, no new tournaments, so we'll roll right down into the quick play. We're going to do Contenders Trials NA. We've got day one, so I'm going to take the Chicken Contendies versus Paradigm. Chicken Contendies take this 3-1. Busan went the way of Chicken Contendies 2-1. Blizzard World went Chicken Contendies 2-1. Volskaya went over to Paradigm 5-4. That was kind of a longer setup there. And then Route 66, Chicken Contendies hit him with the full hold. Do you have anything to add to this, Kyle, other than the scores?
Not really. I don't think I watched this one. We only watched about half of the games, I think, or a third of the games. We'll kind of try to do this for to keep things short and not long-winded here.
Yep.
Then I'll talk real quick about Underwater Squad and Bermuda. We saw Bermuda take the win 3-1 over Underwater Squad. Started off with a strong 2-0 on Busan by Bermuda. Then moving on to King's Row, Bermuda took that as well 3-2, so completing the map. And then Underwater Squad was unable to. Volskaya is where we saw it turn back. So we see a little bit of a trend here where we see the losing team take the 2CP map. We saw Volskaya go to Underwater Squad 6-5 in like double second or in third rounds, I think is what it's called. I don't know. And then lastly, Bermuda. I actually didn't get the score from this one. I think it was not even on over.gg at the moment. Rialto goes to Bermuda, giving them the 3-1 victory.
And then noticing a trend here in Trials, we get to see Volskaya first off, which is super cool to see. Mm-hmm. Not a new map, but something other than Anubis, and it always goes pretty deep. Like, we're not seeing like threes or 1-2s or full holds. It's like pretty long when it goes to Volskaya. So then our next matchup here, which is going to be our featured match of the night, we've got Sky Foxes going up against Phase 2. This was the showdown of contenders teams that were relegated. And, you know, Sky Foxes were just didn't win a game, didn't win a map. They were horrible. They win this 3-1 and were pretty darn dominant. So, Kyle, why don't you take away? You've got some information here. We'll bounce this off of each other.
Yeah, I do have a couple of notes here. First off, we've got Busan, right? So Busan, Sky Foxes take this 2-1. We see some kind of interesting things here. We see Far Widow on downtown quite a bit. Sky Foxes uses, I think this is Attitude and Buds in at the moment, and using Attitude on that Pharah and Buds, who's always good on that Widow. Really, really solid play from them, able to get the 2-1 there. And you have a note here?
Yeah, Buds showing off on that Widow we're talking about is actually just kind of in the back, hanging out, taking shots, and an absolutely enraged duplicate comes over on Winston. Primal rages, knocks Buds into the air. Mid-air, Buds takes off the head of King, knocks him right out of the sky while he's being bounced around by duplicate. And then in the process, after he gets King, he gets Faz across the map. Now, the whole time he's getting pocketed by his Mercy. So Buds is able to get two kills off of the Widow while he's being disrupted by the Primal Raging Duplicate, and Duplicate is unable to kill him. Fantastic little series of events to watch Buds. It's so good to be able to watch Buds back on. It's awesome.
Yeah, that was really cool to see. Moving on into King's Row here, we had Sky Foxes taking this 3-2 as well. I think Sky Foxes had a really huge time bank coming into last. I think phase two pushed first, didn't get all the way to the end. They got like 99% of the way there with like no time left. But then Sky Foxes on their attack were way, way, way cleaner. I think we saw some... I think they were bringing Remix out on the Hammond tier, I believe. And they had a really, really good time bank coming into last. Only lost one team fight, so they just kind of regrouped and then took it pretty handedly here.
Yeah. And then we were talking about Buds on Widow. What else is Buds, you know, pretty solid on? Sombra. Buds hits this massive, massive EMP. He gets almost the whole team except for Faz. Faz is able to drop the beat. He covers almost his whole team again. Well, in the process, Remix drops an Earth Shatter that knocks down the whole team. And then they absolutely, they team wipe everything. So, Bud's coming in with the EMP, setting up Remix for the Shatter, and then just the unlucky timing of Faz. Faz is like, oh, I'm going to save my team. No, you're not, because you're going to get knocked down, and all of that armor and shielding that's on the team is just going to get eaten because everybody just pounced on the bodies on the Yeah, man, Sky Foxes are looking clean with this new roster. They're timing everything perfectly.
Yep, and then moving on into Horizon, we follow the trend yet again of the losing team taking the 2CP map away. Phase 2 take this in a pretty close 4-3 here, and oh my god, let's talk about the fatty C9 we saw here. Sky Foxes on their second attack on B, they were all there around the point, they just took a little too long to get there, and they lost because of it.
Yep. They weren't able to get that final tick on their second attack, because this was another one that the overtime, over rounds, whatever you want to call it. But the way that phase two was able to secure that third tick, it's Onyx, you know, showing off his Sombra a little bit, translocates into the back, lands right in front of both supports. Pops the EMP, drops the Zen, and then on the other side, since there's no supports, King gets a Dragon Blade, catches a Nano, and then just cleans up. It was a perfect series of events for Phase 2. They just couldn't seem to string these types of events together anywhere else. They separated the team. Yeah, they used three alts, but it was quality alts, all capitalized. Hopefully we see Phase 2 start to kind of work together a little more on their coordination, because this was a perfect example of what they could do. They just didn't do it anywhere else.
Yep, and then Rialto is where Skyfoxes took the final win here. With a 2-1, Clone Man we saw come in here, looked really, really strong. Buds brought out the Sombra, and I don't know, it seems like when people play Sombra into Goats, they either completely dismantle the team or do nothing. It's never like, oh, they're doing a pretty good job here and there. Like, Buds' Sombra was, like, pretty hard countered here. And he did bring out the McCree, which looked pretty solid.
And before he switched over to the McCree, he was successful in getting a hack onto duplicate mid-shatter, fully canceling it. Couldn't have timed it any better. It's feeling like we're going to talk a lot about Buds in this trial season. I don't know about you. I was watching him do phenomenal things. So then yep. Our last matchup for the evening was Square One versus Triumph. And not going to lie, I'm a little sad because I like Triumph's branding a little more than Square One's, and Square One takes this 4-0. So we see this going, obviously, all four maps going to Square One. Busan, 2-0. Numbani, 3-2. Volskaya, 4-3. Again, extra innings. And then Route 66, 3-2. So that is our first day. Going down in our second day, Kyle, why don't you take this first matchup here?
So we've got Square One with back-to-back pretty good scores here with a 3-0. So we did have a draw here against Bermuda. Started off on Ilios, where Square One took the 2-1 victory. Moving into King's Row, they took a 3-2 victory. Volskaya was a 4-4 draw, so both teams capped both points twice, but then couldn't capture the first point either time. And then Rialto is where they closed it out with an extra innings 4-3.
And then our second matchup was Phase 2 going up against Triumph. Triumph take this 3-2. Match scores are Ilios going to Triumph 2-1. King's Row is going to Phase 2. Don't have a score line on this one. Volskaya goes the way of Triumph, 6-4. That extra innings again. Then we get to see Junkertown for the first time in Trials. That goes to Phase 2, 2-1. And to wrap it up, we've got Nepal going to Triumph with a solid.
Yep, and then closing it off, we have Chicken Contendies and Underwater Squad. And this is a map I wanted to watch a little bit of here and there, just because I wanted to see how Chicken Contendies was really playing here. I think that so far my teams to watch have been really Skyfox, Chicken Contendies, and then Square One, I believe. And we'll talk about why in a little bit here. But starting off on Ilios, Underwater Squad took the 2-1 to start out. Man, this was Reptile's playground here, who's the Lucio player for Underwater Squad. Got like three separate really key boops on Well here, and was part of the reason they ended up taking. Actually, no, they didn't even take that. They
lost Well.
Despite all of that, Chicken Canadians were able to take that, but then Underwater Squad was able to come back and take Ruins and Lighthouse. And then one of the other things, I talked about this earlier about Sombras being up and down. Derek was pretty feast and famine here. Said sometimes when he was absolutely doing well and sometimes he was doing nothing. But overall, I think it averaged to be pretty beneficial here. Underwater Squad has been doing a pretty good job of playing around that EMP.
And then they lose the first fight to take the point on. And it. 57%, I think, in favors of Chicken Contendies. And the Contendies, man, they were holding up way far. Not quite spawn, but there's that little where the health pack is in that little like Colosseum type thing. They were holding right there for the basically the whole time. They were giving no headway. So it took Underwater Squad 3 ultimates to get past that point where they were able to take and secure the point. They had to use the trance to stop the or to counteract the grav that was used on them. During the grav, they dropped Shatter and EMP, which resulted in a team kill. So they invested a lot. They were able to take the point, got it back up to basically even when Chicken Contendies flipped it. And then from there on out, it was a pretty steady brawl. And then Underwater Squad was just able to outplay him on the rest of Ilios. So Underwater Squad looked solid on Ilios, not so much on the rest.
Yep, we saw Chicken Contendies make the comeback here, 2-1 on King's Row, and let's talk about that fight on first. I think this was on Underwater Squad's attack. It was a clown fiesta, to quote the casters on this one. You had many ults that got used that really shouldn't have been used. Underwater Squad was like down 2, and then their Zen decided to trance, and then so did Chicken Contendies Zen. And then someone threw like a grav out, but that got enough. It was just all over the place, really. Kind of unfortunate to see.
It was rough. And like just watching it, the Zen for Underwater Squad's name is Pan. And he pops a trance that nobody knows what's going on. So what is supposed to do? Panics. Pops his trance. Nothing. It was one of the weirdest fights I've ever watched, because it was a lot of people doing things that weren't doing anything. Hopefully it was just a kind of an equal, everybody forgot how to play Overwatch in that moment. But I don't think so much on Chicken Contendies, but if Underwater Squad continues to play the way they did on King's Row, they're going to have a rough time through the rest of Trials here.
Yeah, that's the one thing I'm noticing about these Trials games is, like, it's really about who is making less just kind of bad mistakes. Like, when you got to the Contenders Championship between Fusion University and Atlanta Academy, it was about who can punish the 2 mistakes that the other team makes harder or whatever.
Yep.
There was, like, when you look at, like, the, you know, finger quotes on this, the bad trances that we saw from Dogman, or the, I guess the sound barriers from Ajax was a little bit more ridiculous, but, like, how, like, we consider that to be bad, but then we have this, which is, like, a whole different breed of bad trance usages here. Yeah. And so, like, and this is something that people are like, oh my god, these players are so good, like, Derek was like such a great widow. Like, I want people to kind of tamper their expectations of teams going into Contenders. Even, I mean, we saw 3 teams come into Contenders season 3 from Trials, 3 or 4 teams, I think 3. 2 of them didn't get a single map or match win. 1 of them didn't get a single map win. And so I think that even as good as we think Chicken Contendies or Square One or even Phase 2 are, there's a solid chance we see any number of these teams just get completely decimated by, you know, Mayhem Academy and Fusion Universities and Atlanta Academies and so on and so forth. So taking it to Volskaya, we've saw Chicken Contendies do a full hold there. Suppose did, had some really good trances. So we had some bad trances in King's Row, wiped the slate clean. Suppose was killing it on the trances here. There was one really good one. I remember it even made it onto one of my, I watch a stream highlights from the previous day on YouTube every morning. And there was the one from Suppose where, I think it was Derek came in for the EMP and literally split second, kind of, channeling his inner Crimzo, hit the transcendence perfectly timed, saved his whole team. completely nullified the EMP. So we saw him do a pretty good job of doing that throughout these couple of maps here.
Oh yeah, that trance was, when he hit it, I didn't even understand how he did it
because it was close.
It was close. So we see that chicken contendees do a full hold. They just need one tick. So you're expecting they've got this huge time bank to get one tick. They were able to get the one tick before any player got an ultimate on their team. I think their highest percentage was like 78% towards their ults. That is how quick and decisive the chicken contendees rolled over the underwater squad on that first fight. Now, they did lose their Brigitte. I forget who was playing the Brigitte, and they did lose their Reinhardt in the fight, but the four remaining players were able to clean up the rest of underwater squad and take it so quickly. It was actually pretty insane how fast they took.
Mm-hmm. And then Rialto's where we saw it get closed out here with a 5-3, so we got some extra innings there as well. And then if you want to take it away on the final map.
The final matchup was Sky Foxes against Paradigm, and the Sky Foxes just flexing those muscles again. 4-0. So we see Ilios going to Sky Foxes 2-0, followed up by King's Row 2-1. Volskaya was 4-3, again, extra innings. And then Junkertown, full hold, 1-0, going to the Sky Foxes. So, takes us down into the standings. Kyle, why don't you take us away here?
So, at the very top, we've got five teams here who are on the happy bubble. You want to be in the happy bubble, not the unhappy bubble. These five will make it in. So far, we've got Square One with a 2-0 plus 7 map differential. Skyfox is 2-0 plus 6 map differential. Chicken Contendees 2-0 with a plus 4 map differential. Those three are pretty good chances to get in. Bermuda at a 1-1 with a minus 1 differential, and Triumph with a 1-1 minus 3 differentials are in technically. But they're on the path to being in. But then in the danger bubble, we've got Phase 2, Underwater Squad, and Paradigm with 0-2s. They are on the bubble for being eliminated, but we don't have anyone locked in just yet. But, it's safe to assume that maybe our top three have a pretty good
chance. We've got two more weekends of Contenders Trials. 3 days next weekend, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. And then
8th, 9th, and 10th, yeah.
And then the following weekend, there are 2 days worth of trial. So I'm kind of guessing that by the end of next week, at least two of these teams will have their spot locked based on wins and map difference. If not, so we've got nothing for the main discussion here, but we do have a little bit of speculation station. I'm actually going to do this in the reverse order. We ran a poll last week based on our conversation about the Overwatch World Cup. Two questions. One, do you think that the World Cup has reached end and we won't see it this year? And then two, if you think it is coming to an end, what live Overwatch event would you like to see at BlizzCon? So what is that? 68% said Overwatch World Cup will continue, with 32% saying that, nope, Overwatch World Cup is coming to an end. We've got a couple of comments here. Kyle, why don't you grab this first comment from Ernie Hazard?
So Ernie says that, I think the cross-region events for Contenders will probably end up becoming the World Cup. It might not happen this year. It seems to me like they might be trying to phase it out. So maybe we're a little bit jumping the gun here, but Ernie seems to agree with us that it seems like they're maybe not too keen on it anymore, and they're trying to use Contenders to kind of fill that void.
And then Shrugoff comes in with, Contenders NA playoffs should be played at BlizzCon instead of having the World Cup. It would be nice to support. It would be nice support for NA Contenders, and will be a way to show off Tier 2 to a large audience. I wasn't able to pull everything, but there was a pretty lengthy discussion between him and one of our other commenters about why this would be good. And so if you want to check that out, head over to our Twitter. You can read their full exchange. It's pretty good.
And then last here from our good friend Deathblow here said, after being there, it was one of the biggest and busiest areas in the venue, and the U.S. got knocked out early. I'd be pretty shocked if it didn't continue. So
we've got
interesting point.
One agreeing, one disagreeing. One kind of on the bubble there. He wants to see more NA support. And then our final comment comes here from the gentleman who actually had the conversation with Shrugoff. We have Heitenhoof. Answer to number one, yes. Answer to number two, Overwatch World Cup. That's all he gave us. So he's pretty confident that the Overwatch World Cup is staying and will be here for a while. So now, my last little bit of speculation station here before we move on is we haven't heard a whole lot of news coming out of Path to Pro scene about the way the new structure for NA is going to be held. So I started thinking, we've got NA East and NA West, two new regions in theory. They're ran as regions. They'll be ran the same way as all of the other regions, which means we would have two prize pools. Well, what's one way to save some money? Combine them. NA East as Group A, NA West as Group B. You could switch those however you want. With one prize pool split between the two. It'd save them money. It would be easier than running two separate tournaments, having to schedule two separate events, basically. So that they didn't counteract with each other, and they're in the same time zones. So, like, it'd be way more difficult for them to schedule those matches unless they do it where Group A is one region and Group B is the other, and then the finals decides which region is best. Which then got me really thinking, if this is the case, if this is what they're going to do, that's one less prize pool that they have to pay. So yeah, maybe they have a little more money for the prize pool for NA. Maybe it means we get NA lands. We have two seasons a year. You could do one of the lands in the East, one of the lands in the West, and just alternate every year.
Interesting.
Again, it's just me throwing stuff out there. We haven't heard anything. I would love to hear something. I can't wait to hear some official word coming out. But if you have any ideas on what could happen, what you think might happen, throw it up in the Discord, hit us up on Twitter. I'd love to hear your guys' ideas for the way NA Contenders is going to be ran. But I think that's it for us tonight, Kyle.
Yep, I agree.
So where can they find you on the internet?
You can find me on Twitter at Kyle the Winner, Winner W-Y-N-N-E-R. And then you can find me streaming one game and one game only from now on my Twitch. That is same Kyle the Winner, Winner spelled with a Y, and that'll be playing Apex Legends in like 5 minutes.
You can find me on Twitter at Thornrain. I do all of my streaming over on the Blackwatch Report. I'm not able to stream Apex just yet. I'm getting the last bit of piece to upgrade my PC. And then I'll be able to stream all of them. But as always, we're looking for those Twitch followers. Swing by the Twitch, hit that follow button. If you're feeling really, really generous, you can hit the sub button. Or if you got a Twitch Prime. Cool with selling out to Twitch Prime. iTunes reviews. If you want to help out the show for free, no charge, just a little bit of your time, head over to iTunes, throw up a review. We will read that review. 1 star, 5 star, it doesn't matter. We read all of our reviews. Just don't make it a book, and we'll read it on the show. But you can find the show on Twitter at Blackwatch Report. There is no O in that report. You can email the show any questions or comments, concerns, blackwatchreport@gmail.com. You can follow the show on Twitch, twitch.tv/blackwatchreport. We record live Tuesday, 6 p.m. Eastern, and our intro music is an original piece by our own Kyle Wynn. This has been a High Noon production. You can find all of our shows over at highnoonpodcast.com, and you can come and chat with all of the hosts over on the Discord at discord.me/highnoonpodcast. And with that, Blackwatch out.